The sermon title today is The Love Corruption. In the 1980s, Johnny Lee sang the country song, Looking for Love in All of the Wrong Places. Does anybody remember that song? I know so many of you are so young, you don't even remember the 1980s. The world today is looking for love where it has never been found. The world, but it's not only just the world. It's by far too many Christians as well that are looking for love, and they're using the wrong definition. What the Lord has created for good, Satan's goal is to corrupt it and change it into something that it is not. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it talks about they took the truth of God and exchanged the truth of God into a lie. Who is in the business of exchanging the truth of God's word into a lie? The adversary. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says that he is the father, he is a liar, and that he is the father of all lies. So if we want the true definition of love, we need to turn to the author and the originator of all love, and it is the Lord himself. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 this morning. 1 John and chapter 4. 1 John and chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, if you go over to verse 7, it says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For what? For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. But this we know, that we abide in him, he in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the Lord. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Wow. We could preach over this passage of Scripture for the next year. And we only have 20 minutes. Look at what he is saying to us. In verse 7, he says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That love is of God. That he is the author and he is the originator of all love. And there are so many areas in our life when we talk about in 1 Corinthians that he is the God of all comfort. That he comforts us. Who is the author and originator of all comfort? God is. When we talk about joy, if you're going to find true joy, you find it in the Lord. If you're going to find true happiness, you're going to find it in the Lord. If you're going to find true peace, you're going to find it in the Lord. If you want to find the definition of love, you're going to find it in the Lord, because he's the author and he is the originator of all love. Amen. Verse 8 says that God is love. Verse 16, that God, once again, God is love. Listen to the truths of the Scripture, that true love is found in God, because God is love. He is the author, he is the originator of all love. If we want the true definition of love, we must turn to God. But what God has created for good, Satan has corrupted, turning the truth into a lie. Look at what the adversary has done to the word love. turning it into something God does not even recognize. He's turned love into lust. He's turned love into a feeling. He's turned love into a desire. Satan has turned love into power. He has turned love into manipulation. If you love me, you will do this. If you love me, you will do that. If I love you, I will feel this way. You must meet my needs or I can't love you. The divorce rate in America is staggering, and much of it is because Satan has turned the truth into a lie. Look at what the world has done to God. They've turned God into like Santa Claus. They've turned God into fairy godmother. And because we can't manipulate him into doing what we want him to do, he's a bad God. He must not love us, or he would do what I want. If God is love, why do we have death? Why do we have heartaches? Why do we have heart attacks? Why do we have cancer? Why do we have sorrow? If God is love, why are there plane crashes? If God is love, why is there little children dying? Brother and sister, ever since the original sin, this world has been affected by the curse of sin. If we are not affected by our own sin, we are affected by the world of sin in which we live in. It is all around us. We live in a lost and dying world that Christ came to redeem and to set free from the curse. The God we serve is a good God. The God we serve is a good God. The God we serve is a good God. Do we have that? Amen. He's not in the cancer business. He's not in the heart attack business. He's in the restoration and healing business. The Word not only says that God is love, He proves it. The two greatest expressions of God's love for us is shown in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What are the greatest expressions of love in this passage? Number one, he gave, and number two, he went. God gave his Son, and Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to stand in your place. And God sent him to do that for each and every one of us today. Now, what does it say here in John chapter 1 John 1, 4 and verse 9 and 10? So verse 9 says this, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now verse 19 says this, we love him, why? Because he first loved us. God did not wait to share his love until you deserved it or until you earned it. Think about the commitment. Christ had to die first to make a way for us to be redeemed. He didn't wait to see if you were going to turn out. He didn't wait to see if you were going to behave yourself. He didn't wait to see if you were going to accept him as Jesus Christ. 100%, he invested his life into your life so you might have life eternal. In this world, we want to project the outcome before we do anything, don't we? We already did that in church today, didn't we? Can we afford to build on? Can we afford to go out? Can we afford to get bigger? Will there be kids in school? We're projecting the outcome before we even get there. That's natural. I do that all the time. We do the same thing, but the problem is we do the same thing with love. Well, before I invest myself, what is the projected outcome? God's definition of love is invest, invest, and invest. It's declaring 100% that I am invested into this relationship. God's love is based on commitment. Now listen to me. God's love is based on commitment. It's not based on outcome. Do you get that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The true greatest expressions of love is God gave and Jesus went. He went to the cross for you and I today. He didn't wait to see what the outcome was going to be. His love that he based it on was his commitment to doing the Father's will, not the outcome. Husband and wives today, tell each other later on this day, in this day, not today, not right now, that this is the last rodeo. I'm committed to this relationship 100%. And nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to divide us. Nothing's going to separate us. Because I am invested in this 100%. And the spouse is going to say, I'm invested this in 100%. Then I can tell you what the outcome will be. If you both do that, I can tell you what the outcome will be from your investment. In the church and in marriage, the greatest asset, I'll say this again. In the church and in marriage, the greatest asset that you have is our love for Jesus. Now turn with me to John chapter 13. The Gospel of John in 13. I'm almost done. Yeah, I'm going to get you out of here early. Maybe I need to slow down. It's not warm out yet. John 13. In John 13 verse 34. We've talked about this many times, and we'll talk about it many times from now. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, love in the Scripture is not a new thing. God always loved. He is a God of love. He is love. But what is he saying here? This is a new commandment. This is something that you have not lived by, that you should be living by, and now I'm telling you it's a commandment that you must live by. He's making the order. You will do this. This is a commandment that I am declaring unto you. Not a feeling, but an order. If you are mine, you will love. In Matthew, turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Verse 36, it says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, committed to love. What are we saying? It's a commandment. It's something you must do. You must feel and you must have the security of knowing that no matter how mad you get at me and how frustrated you get with me, I'm still going to love you. Do we have that commitment with one another in the church body? We need to have that commitment with one another. It doesn't matter if you step on my toes. It doesn't matter if you hurt my feelings. It doesn't matter if we get in an argument. You're going to know that Pastor Leo is going to love you no matter what, because it's a commandment of the Lord that we do so. It's a challenge, isn't it? One last scripture that shows us a vivid picture of love and God's love for us. A scripture that most people like to skip over. But in reality, it's a picture of us before we accepted Jesus. Now turn with me. Turn with me. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. You're already in Matthew. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Most of the time, if you're sitting at home and you're reading in your Bible and you're going to read a devotion, when you read this and you just want to skip over it, you don't want to read it. But it says in verse 43 of Matthew 5, You have heard that it said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do you not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as my Father in heaven is perfect. Now think about it just for a moment. Before you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is a picture of you. Think about it. I don't want to invest a lot of time in somebody that there's not going to be any return on. Ha ha, hello. We all feel that way, don't we? But Jesus is teaching us that the love that we share is not to be focused on the outcome, but is focused on the commitment of love. When we see this picture, before you accepted Jesus, you were an enemy of the cross. You were a child of disobedience. You were walking in death because of sin. But he extended his love first so we could be a child of God. Yes, church. And William says this all the time, and this church has picked it up as well. Yes, church, I love you, but Jesus loves you more. Isn't that true? He loved you so much, he didn't wait to see an outcome. He was committed to your restoration. The church has a lot to learn about love. And the only place that we can find the true definition of love is through the scripture, because the world does not hold it. We said that earlier. Look what the world has done and the adversary has done to the word love. It's lust, it's manipulation, it's control, it's domineering. All these different things that we see going on in the world. And all the little children that are hurt so terribly, terribly for lifelong damage in their life. Because man has taken love and allowed the adversary to twist it and to turn it into something it is not. May this church always stand committed to the power of God and to the love of Jesus, and no matter what, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, we're going to share his love no matter what. Amen? Amen? Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in this time that we can gather today. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the message. We thank you, Father, for the word and the projecting. Father, we can say that when we leave this place today, we have laid hands on people. We have anointed with oil. We have worshiped as we sang. We feel the presence of the Holy Spirit as the word is shared. We have sat under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can say we are leaving here not the same, because we've been moved by the mighty hand of God. Amen. God bless you all, and have a wonderful day, and be safe on the highways.